Thank you, Joey.
And then for our next speaker, introducing Adam.
Thanks, man.
I am an addict. My name is Adam. And, what? I'm an addict named Adam. And NA saved my life. You know, it's an honor to be here. I'm really grateful to be here. I love this convention. It's our regional convention. And you might not be able to hear me. I'm not a loud person. I don't scream. I'm not a loud talker. And, you know, I'm excited to be here. And, you know, I know that it's grace that I'm clean today. And, you know, it's so rare. The odds are so stacked against us that, you know, an addict gets clean, stays clean, makes it to Ocean City. It's a miracle. And I guess my topic is letting go of resentments. And, you know, from as early as I can remember, you know, I believe I was born an addict. And, you know, I grew up in D.C. And I grew up in a family with addiction. And I was like an angry kid. And, you know, I was always ashamed of who I was, and I couldn't really figure out why. I suffered from low self-esteem, feelings of inadequacy. I always felt less than, and, you know, I suffered from obsessive thinking and compulsive behavior. And, you know, when all my friends started getting high when I was like 13 years old, I did too. And for the first time in my life, it was like the best feeling. Probably not going to happen. I can't speak up anymore. And you know, the first time I used it was like the best feeling that I ever had. All that nonsense in my head that told me I wasn't good enough, that I couldn't fit in, that people didn't like me, it all just shut off and I just felt good. And, you know, after that it was just consequences. And, you know, things got worse and worse. And I don't know about anyone else, but when I was using, like, I always kept, like, a mental list of, like, who had done what to me and, you know, who owed me what, and you know, there was always something in it for me. And, you know, when I was 14 years old, I got kicked out of summer camp by the DEA for being part of the camp drug ring. When I was 16 and 17, I had, like, serious health problems from blackout drinking. And 10 days before my 18th birthday, I was arrested in Montgomery County with a felony possession charge with intent for distribution. And so, you know, it was like my senior year in high school, and everyone else was having fun and looking forward to going to college. And, you know, I was getting, like, going to see my probation officer on the weekends and, you know, getting drug tested. And I was court ordered to go to two NA meetings a week. And, you know, I went to two NA meetings a week, and, you know, I sat in the back and got my slip signed. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, we talk about is that the same addict will use again. And, you know, I used again. And I moved down to Florida, and, you know, in active addiction, I was confronted with all those feelings that I used over, and things just got worse and worse. You know, I used drugs I said I would never use. I used drugs in ways I said I would never use them. I compromised my morals, my values, my beliefs, my health, my safety, my relationships, and my dignity, and all that stuff. And, you know, like, where I ended up, like, you know, using in places I didn't even know existed with, like, people who I wouldn't even dream of. And, you know, I really just wanted to die because I tried the drug replacement therapy, and my experience is that that didn't work for me. And after that, I had completely lost hope. And I was with this girl who we were engaged to be married. And, you know, that was like the one thing I was holding on to. And we were like using, and we were really like using partners. And, you know, what happened was I became an unwilling participant in a chain of events that ended up to me getting clean that I now understand as grace. And I was having an awesome conversation before I came here, you know, with a guy who I really admire, and he was talking about, you know, the power that guides us our whole lives, and the power that brings us to, like, where we are, like, right here, right now, today. And, you know, it's so clear to me that that's happened throughout the course of my life and through me getting clean and in my recovery that's brought me here today. And, you know, he just reminded me of that. And, you know, the first thing that happened was this girl who I was in love with cheated on me with a Puerto Rican drug dealer named Tony. And, you know, it broke my heart. And after that, it was like one bad thing after the next bad thing after the next bad thing. And at the time, it seemed like it was the end of the world and like everything was crashing down. And I really now know that it was the beginning. And, you know, I came back to D.C. and I met up with this guy who was my friend for many years. And we traded our drugs and used in broad daylight in front of a metro station. And I looked at him and I'm like, man, at least I'm not as bad as he is. And he had all these physical symptoms of addiction. And he was like, he looked at me and he's like, look, man, I don't know how to say this, but I'm really worried about you. You look like you're about to die. And, you know, he was like, you should go to treatment. And I'm like, what's treatment? And he's like, I've been three times already. It's great. And so I went to treatment. And, you know, at some point they told me, they're like, dude, you're like high risk for relapse, which I now know all addicts are high risk for relapse. And that, you know, we think that you ought to move into a recovery house. And I'm like, you guys have me all wrong. I'm not moving into a recovery house. And I realized I didn't have anywhere else to go. I had all my worldly possessions in a trash bag. And, you know, I went to this place and it looked like really institutional. And I got there. And, you know, my dream was to get it together for a little while and try to sell drugs more successfully. That was like my dream. And I mean, I think like maybe that's like some other addict's dreams. But, you know, God intervened in my plan. And, you know, he put this guy in my life who turned out to be the addict who saved my life. And, you know, I got to this place and I met this guy and, you know, it changed everything. And, you know, I always used to hear about if any of us are doing better, somebody helped us. God works through people. And, you know, God worked through this guy a lot. And, you know, my whole life I had people telling me that, you know, I was in trouble, I had a problem, you know, I was doing bad, I was messing up, and none of it meant anything until, you know, I met this guy. And, you know, he shared a story with me. It's one of the worst stories I've ever heard. And he had full-blown AIDS and hepatitis C and tuberculosis and all this stuff. And I'm like, damn, dude, you're going to die any day anyways. Don't you want to, like, get high and feel good? And he was like, that doesn't make any sense to me. He's like, this might be the only chance I ever get, and I'm trying not to blow this chance. And so from early on, I was taught, you know, that, like, not to blow this chance, and that, you know, we never take one, we never need one. And, you know, this guy and his friends were, like, NA members, and they stood for something, and they took me in, and they scooped me up, and they taught me how to make not using, no matter what, the most important thing in my life. And they taught me about total abstinence, and, you know, it's different than the total abstinence that I hear about a lot today. They believed in not taking anything. And my whole life, I had to be on something. And, you know, these guys convinced me that if they could stay clean and not take anything, then I could too. And, you know, we went to meetings, and, you know, they all had sponsors and were working steps and, like, helping other people and living by spiritual principles. And they were living their lives with honor and dignity, and they were, like, alive inside and had families and awesome jobs. And, like, you know, like, I was dead inside, and I wanted that, like, so bad. And so I started doing what they did, and I asked this guy to be my sponsor, and the first thing he asked me was, are you willing to go to any lengths to stay clean? And, you know, I had no idea what that meant, but I said yes, because that's the right answer. And every time that this guy made a suggestion that, you know, I didn't want to do, he said, you said you were willing to go to any lengths to stay clean. And before I knew it, I had like 60 days and 90 days and like things were getting better and I was like, you know, doing good at work. And then I got a car and I moved out of my recovery house and I moved into another recovery house. And then, you know, I moved out with some friends and I don't remember when it was or what secret I shared or how many meetings I've been to, but at some point I lost the desire to use drugs. And, you know, it was a miracle because before that, my whole life was consumed with the desire to use drugs. And even after getting clean, my whole life was consumed with, you know, not using drugs. And, you know, I started working steps and my life started changing. And, you know, I had a lot of resentments when I got clean. Like, they used to call me Angry Adam. a lot of you guys don't know me from when I first got clean, but there's a couple people here. They used to call me Angry Adam, and I was mad at my family. And, you know, I actually had a physical list at the end of my using of all the stuff that I wrote down, of the stuff that the things that people did to me, and, like, you know, the money that people owed me and all this stuff. And, you know, just after staying clean long enough and, like, starting praying, like, all that stuff from when I used didn't seem to matter as much anymore. And then, you know, I did a fourth step and a fifth step. And, you know, in my fourth step, I wrote about my resentments. And, you know, I had to take a look at my part. And, you know, I realized that I played a part in most of the things that I was angry about. And, you know, I was able to let all that stuff go. And, you know, some of my biggest resentments were against my family. And thanks for sharing, man. And one of the things that you shared about was forgiveness. And, you know, I had some really powerful nine-step experiences with my family. My dad had been in active addiction my whole life. And, you know, I blamed him for, like, all my problems pretty much. And after I got clean, I had maybe like 18 months clean. And we went out to lunch one day. And I gave him my one-year medallion. And, you know, like, I made amends to him. And, you know, I said what I was going to say. And he, like, lost his shit and, like, wrote me this, like, note on these guest checks. And, you know, I still carry it around today. It's, like, one of my most valuable possessions about, like, how he feels like he failed as a father and how he ruined what should have been a beautiful day and how, you know, he could never do what I did and all this stuff. And it was, like, really powerful. And after that, I was able to look at him with, like, compassion and empathy and see that he's just one of us. He's just a sick and suffering addict. And that was, like, the beginning of me building, like, a real relationship with my dad. And, you know, even though he's still using, we have a pretty good relationship today. You know, I traveled with him overseas, like, 2 years ago, and, you know, he was asking me, like, questions about, like, sponsorship and, like, staying clean. It was really, like, kind of a surreal experience. And then my mom, too. I realized, so at some point in my step work, I realized, like, all my resentments against my mother stem from, like, me wanting to, like, use, because I thought it was, like, the solution I was looking for, and she was interfering with my using when I was young, because she wanted me to, like, stay out of trouble and, like, do good. And, you know, it all stemmed from that. And, you know, at some point, I made my amends to her, and, you know, at first she said it wasn't good enough, that, you know, I would never know what it was like to, you know, be the mother of a using addict and not know if my son was alive or dead and all that stuff. But, you know, at some point things started getting better there too, and now we've got a great relationship too. And over time, I really think I've just learned to, like, relax and not take things so seriously and turn things over to God, because I do have a God of my understanding that I found here in NA. And, you know, sometimes things happen, you know, people disappoint me and stuff like that, but I can say that there's no one who, or nothing that I'm really, like, grinding on that, like, keeps me up at night that I'm, like, really resentful about, that I'm, like, plotting revenge against. Like, there's really nothing like that. My life is pretty peaceful today, and it's pretty simple. And, you know, it was never like that before I got clean. My life was very complicated. And, you know, I always felt like I was lost, and I was alone, and, you know, ashamed of who I was, and, you know, I don't feel like that anymore. And that, you know, the steps change us fundamentally. The answer is in the steps. And, you know, I've got a great sponsor who is a great example of, you know, letting things go and not taking things so seriously. And I really admire that, because, you know, in our literature, it used to say halts. It used to say hungry, angry, lonely, tired, serious, and not taking yourself too seriously. And that's, like, the biggest one for me. You know, most of my problems stem from, you know, me taking things too seriously. And I don't know what it is. NA is, like, the best thing that ever happened to me. I came here, and I was somehow able to surrender, get in some guy's back pockets, and they taught me how to live. And, you know, today, like, you know, despite myself, I've been able to stay clean. My clean date's August 22nd, 2005. You know, I know it's, like, a once-in-a-lifetime chance that I got this chance to, like, get clean and stay clean and, you know, embrace recovery because it doesn't happen for a lot of addicts. Most addicts never make it to NA. Most addicts never get clean. They never hear our message that an addict, any addict, can lose the desire to stop using, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. And, you know, it's just like seems, you know, almost impossible. And, you know, I know that there's hope here and that we do recover. I see it happen every day. And, you know, because I've come here and, you know, I followed some simple suggestions, I live a charmed life. And I find myself, you know, constantly in the right place at the right time, and miracles happen. And, you know, most days I still really have no idea what I'm doing. I'm just like a simple guy who's been brainwashed by the 12 steps, Narcotics Anonymous, and some simple sayings, some slogans, and, you know, like amazing stuff happens and it keeps happening. And, you know, if it can work for me, it can work for anyone. But it's amazing to me because, you know, I was always like, you know, blaming other people, a victim, you know, it was somebody else's fault. I was grinding on something or someone or something I was upset about, and I don't feel like that today. I'm free. And, you know, it's just great to be here. And that's all I have to share. Thanks.